Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me today. This is Easter week, the week we are celebrating and commemorating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, I thought it would be well to take some time just to look at what I trust are some very familiar scripture passages. And we're talking about the reality of the risen Christ and how He chose to appear to His disciples after His resurrection. There's some things we can learn. And even though if we've been serving Christ, walking with Christ, in Christ, for even a very short time, one of the most basic understandings we have is that Jesus did die, and He was resurrected, and He's alive forevermore. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for His people. However, because it's such a familiar fact, I don't think that any of us can fully understand the tremendous impact, the reality of what it means that Jesus conquered death in the grave, not just for Himself, but for every single one of us. That the world that you experience right now, it is not anywhere near as real as that great spiritual reality that exists around us, that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is a kingdom that is going to be established upon this literal physical earth. Jesus literally and physically is returning to this earth. His feet will step once again on the Mount of Olives, and He will rule and reign from Jerusalem, the city of the great King. And so, as I want to now continue on into the scriptures, as I've been sharing from the Gospel of John, that those first 20-some chapters, or excuse me, verses, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Father, I thank You for every listener. And Lord, just as Mary was bowed down with the terrible burden that she had at that moment before You appeared to her, Lord, she thought everything was over. She had lost the Lord Jesus, that her heart was broken, and she just was having a very hard time accepting the fact. And yet, Lord, at her greatest point of need, You came to her. So, Lord, I'm asking You to come to those who may be listening today that are in a time of great distress and need. I ask, Lord, that You would minister to them and meet their needs according to Your riches and glory. And, Lord, those that are walking in a high place in You, Lord, help us to remember to pray for those who are afflicted. Help us, Lord, to be able to thank You and minister to You as a priest in behalf of others, lifting our prayers for them, lifting our praises to You that You are a God who will have mercy on the afflicted. You maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. And so, Lord, I'm thanking You today for touching every listener. And Lord, that we will all have a fresh understanding of the closeness and reality of Your presence in our lives, and that this is Your chief desire, that You can have that kind of intimate fellowship with us as it was in the very beginning when You were walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Praise God. Amen and amen. Well, we were talking about the appearances of Jesus after His resurrection, and He appeared first, as we know, according to the scriptures, to Mary Magdalene. And we see that when she first saw Him, she was so grief-stricken, she didn't recognize Him. In fact, many times we are so overwhelmed with situations in our lives, we don't really recognize the risen Christ who is standing waiting to help us. In John, the 20th chapter, verse 14, the word says, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." At first, she didn't even recognize Jesus. She was so consumed with her grief that her eyes were closed as far as recognizing him. This has been the case with many of us, if we'll be honest. He comes to us today just as he came to Mary. Look also at that instance with the two disciples from Emmaus. He walked with them. He asked, "Why are you so downcast?" And they didn't recognize Jesus at first. Luke's gospel says that the power to recognize him was withheld until after he had communicated the message that they needed. That's Luke 24:16-31. And then, remember, there was another instance, the seven apostles, they were fishing in the Sea of Tiberias. They didn't recognize Jesus at first. Perhaps it was the distance, we don't know how far away they were, but most likely they were unable to see him because of their undue concern for their own personal problems. What were they going to do? How were they going to move on from this point in time with the death of the Lord Jesus? And note what Jesus does when Mary sees what she assumes is the gardener. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." He calls her by her name. And that's the kind of relationship Jesus wants with each one of us. It says he knows us by name. Our walls are continually before him. He's graven us on the palms of his hand. She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." That's John 20:16. When Jesus had described himself as a good shepherd, he had declared, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine." That's John 10:14. The good shepherd was able to call his sheep by name. The God who numbers the very hairs of our heads very definitely knows our name. He even knows our middle name. He knows our nickname. And this thought should encourage our faith and cause us to love our Lord more because of his individual and personal concern for each one of us. Sometimes it's staggering and hard to really receive that emotionally, mentally, we can understand it, but only because he is God. He can love each one of us as if we were his only child. We're all his favorite child. That's only because he's God. And listen to this. The risen Christ conveys a message to be delivered. He basically said, "Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." That's John 20:17. To have an experience with Jesus is, beloved, that's a discovery. It's a life-transforming experience that must be shared. We're not to boast of our faith, but we're not to conceal it. We're to make our boast in Jesus. We're to witness to others of what the living Lord means to us in order that we might be the means whereby they might have faith, and also our own faith is strengthened when we testify. Beloved, Paul based his faith in Christ on the solid foundation of the testimony of others, think of that, as well as on his own personal experiences with the living Christ. He declares that Jesus was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, and then by the 12. On one occasion, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. He was also seen by James and by all of the apostles assembled together. That's 1 Corinthians 15:3-8. So, this Christ that we serve, this living Lord, has walked down through the corridors of time to this very hour, beloved, and to this day in which we live, and he stands at the heart door of each one of us. Some need to let him in as Savior and Redeemer, that they might experience the forgiveness of sin and the gift of new life. Many of us, praise God, have already welcomed Christ, but we need to let him occupy completely. Sometimes, you know, he dwells within our spirit, and we want to welcome him into this earthly tabernacle, and our, if you will, our soul, our mind, is somewhat like a home. You know, we invite him and want him to make himself comfortable in the waiting room or in the living room. But there may be areas that we don't let him go. Just like, you know, if your house isn't all straightened up, you just want company if they drop by unexpectedly to just generally stay in the living room, which is in relative order. So we tend to do the same with Jesus. And we need to allow him first place in every area of our lives, in every room of our lives. Lord, I ask you to grant that in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I still want to continue on with the message of the risen Christ. And I want to look at another individual who's really fascinating, and that's Thomas, and we refer to him as Doubting Thomas. And I'd like to read a text for you. That's John 20, verses 27 and 28. This is the Lord speaking. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And if you remember, for whatever reason, Thomas wasn't present, and he said, unless I actually, I have to put my hands into his wounds, and then I'll believe, but I just won't believe what you're saying, because he was a realist. So many are like that. There are many today that are nominal Christians that say, well, you know, I know Jesus healed and did miracles in the days of the apostles, but, you know, I'd have to see it to believe it. I don't know that he does that today. Well, beloved, we serve a Lord that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to create such a zeal, such a love, such a expectancy and anticipation in our hearts for what he is going to do. Because he's not just a dead God far off. He's a living Lord who is present with us in our day-to-day lives. May the Lord make the reality of that so profound to us, so transforming, that we will begin to serve him, to walk with him, to commune with him in a newness of life in a way we never have before. That's my prayer for you and for my UCM family. Thank you so much for joining me today. And for your prayers, your love gifts, I so appreciate you. And I invite you to tune in tomorrow. We're just going to continue on and look at the recognition and response of Thomas and other details that are fascinating to consider. The Lord bless you. And this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.